This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanasan, and a surprise, Wang Xiaoning coming to us for all the way from her home. Xiaoning, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you all doing in the studio?
Missing
we're
you.
Definitely missing your presence in the studio, but, you know, we're all being safe and adjusting to this. But, you know, I wonder whether it's good to have you on the line with us this morning.
Yeah, it sounds pretty clear for a change.
Yeah, so we have finally figured out the miracle that is technology. So you're going to be joining us for the remainder of the hour. And in about half an hour, we are going to be speaking with Alex Tan, Forensics and Risk Leader at PwC Malaysia, on the new appointment of independent MACC members. We're also running a poll on this on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, how should COVID-19 vaccines be allocated? Is it to the highest bidder, the biggest investor? Is it to the worst hit countries? Let us know what you think. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at the e-hailing industry.
Yeah, yesterday, July 1st marked another step forward in reopening the economy, with more economic subsectors allowed to reopen. I think some know that I was excited that cinemas were allowed to open. And this included some of the tourism subsectors. And as people begin to move around, business should also be getting better for e-hailing drivers as passengers start to reappear. And on this, actually, we're going to speak to Daryl Ong.
Yeah, so we're speaking with Daryl Ong, president of the Malaysian E-Hailing Drivers Association, for some quick insights into how e-hailing drivers are faring. Daryl, how is business currently? Are e-hailing drivers picking up more passengers? Has business returned to normal levels from pre-MCO?
Definitely not, but it is improving. Yeah, so I think ever since the latest DKPP, whereby there are more freedom, business has definitely improved, but we will not be in pre-MCO level so far, so soon. Very cautious. I mean, I feel that things will only improve January 2021.
Well, have government initiatives under Prihatin or Panjana helped e-hailing drivers survive the MCO period?
To be frank, the Prihatin 500 ringgit one-off assistance is given to drivers, but sad to say, we are very disappointed that it is not given to all e-hailing drivers which possess a PSV. We feel that it should be given to all PSV, e-hailing PSV holders. Because, you see, last year when they implemented the regulation, everyone went through the same process. But why is it when it's time to give out assistance, only selected people, or rather people who qualify, receive the 500 ringgit? It is still the same group of people who qualify through the three conditions, which is you must have a PSV, you must have a valid EVP, e-hailing vehicle permit, or the electronic vehicle permit, and your income between for either one of the months of November 2019 or December 2019 or January 2020, once you hit 1,002, then you qualify. So these are the three main conditions set by the government in order to receive the 500 ringgit bantuan one-off.
So what are some of the reasons that drivers don't qualify? Is it to do with the minimum monthly earnings? Do you have an estimate maybe of how many drivers are ineligible?
Okay, you see, there are a couple of reasons. I just take a very classic example. That part of the year is actually school holiday. So during those 3 months, that person may not be driving so actively. So he may not have received, he may not be able to hit the 1,002. And there are also other instances whereby something happened during those 3 months. Let's say he was involved in an accident, or maybe he was sick. So as a result, he could not meet the 1,002, even though he has PSV, he has EVP, and he has been a full-time driver. A lot of drivers have come to us over this reason, the unfairness. They have been full-time drivers for the whole year. They have been doing more than 1,002 a month, 3,000-4,000. But sad to say, because of something that happened during that gap, they do not qualify. On the 11th of February, when we went for a meeting with JPJ Putrajaya's Bahagian Pelicinan, we were told that at that point of time, there were 92,000 PSV holders. So that was February the 11th. By the time the minister announced, it was already 1 month after that. So definitely 100,000 makes sense. Based on the official stats by the government, apparently 68,000 receive the 500 ringgit. So 68,000 over, say, 100,000 PSV e-hailing holders, we are looking at another 30% which has not received, or rather not eligible.
All right then, on the flip side, what kind of support have drivers been receiving from the e-hailing platforms then?
Yeah, okay. If you're talking about support, I would say in terms of physical items, big companies have been giving out hand sanitizers, disinfectants, and bars of soap, of course, together with face masks. The companies which are aligned to Grab with regards to car rental, they did reduce their car rental fees. And another support that I believe Grab has given to the drivers is they allow Grab car drivers to actually do food delivery and also Grab Express by not charging any commission.
So how long do you think that platforms will give this leeway to its drivers?
I believe maybe until end of the year, because apparently it is affecting the income of the Grab food delivery guys who are using motorbikes. There have been a lot of complaints recently that by allowing e-hailing drivers to do Grab food, their income is badly affected.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Daryl. That was Daryl Ong, president of the Malaysian E-Hailing Drivers Association, giving us a bit of insight into how these e-hailing drivers are faring during this period. Because I think with the movement control order and the economic pain that has come since, it's become even more important to talk about kind of what kind of support structures these gig workers have. Because, you know, we have to remember that gig workers don't have much in the way of social protection. They don't have EPF, for example.
Yeah, and this was already a concern from before, mm-hmm. right? I mean, even in the US, we saw how the Ubers and the Lyfts had to deal with. A lot of workers didn't like the way that they were being treated. And in Malaysia, it really is about the freelance economy as well, and the gig economy, because that's what they're considered under, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we used to think that gig workers were temporary, but I think that's the new normal today. I mean, a large percentage of people will be entering the gig workforce, especially if, let's say, they get retrenched, because that's one way of earning income. But at the same time, how do companies view them? Are they contractors or are they full-time workers? And because they're contractors, like you say, Roshan, they don't have access to EPF, although they could and they should sign up. They can do so on a volunteer basis. And even for SOXO, that's only currently available for people who drive the e-hailing drivers, but not the ones who use bikes, for example. So I think the whole system in terms of what social protection we offer to gig workers needs to be revamped. And, you know, in terms of whether these e-hailing drivers probably can earn the income that they used to in the past, maybe less so, because if you think about COVID-19, there is this fear about going to somebody else's car, right? I mean, public transport is a question mark. Do you want to be exposed to the possibility of catching the virus from a driver? So more people might opt to actually drive their own vehicles. So yeah, it's a bit unfortunate for these gig drivers for this moment.
Yeah, and I mean, anecdotally though, I have some friends who have parents who do the gig economy as a gig economy, really. And they're seeing some activity do return. It's just that maybe it's not all sectors, right? It is not all areas that people are returning to work. A lot of times, it's certain sectors only. It's the same thing, like anecdotally, you would go to somewhere like Bangsa or maybe certain areas of Petaling Jaya and you see restaurants start to fill up again. But that's not necessarily the case across the board. Am I right, Lynn?
Yeah, so this is the thing, right? I think for a lot of people, Why would you take a taxi or a grab car, right? You do it because maybe you either can't drive or you are worried about parking, or you are just generally unwilling to utilize your own car for some reason. And so in this day and age where there is a health concern over all of that, I think really it makes sense that the only people who will be turning to the e-hailing guys now is are the ones who don't have any other option. Because if you do have the option of your own car and it's running for whatever reason, you will drive yourself, because rather than being stuck in a car with a stranger in an enclosed space for however long, right?
Yeah, the other group, as you mentioned, that is those who don't have a choice. Now, if you had a choice, I mean, for those who relied on public transport, buses, trains, it may be a better option to do to go use e-hailing. But the thing is then, the cost factor is significantly, it's different, right? The using, if you had a My Card, I think now there's a 30 ringgit mm-hmm. option, there's a 50 yes. ringgit option. That's for the entire month, as opposed to something like if you took a Grab, it could cost you 15 bucks a day. That's a significant cost differential there.
The other issue I have with gig working is that whether there's the realization that for many of these gig jobs, there's a cap to how much you can earn, right? Because let's say you're an e-hailing driver, you can only work, let's say, certain hours before fatigue sets in. Mm-hmm. And those hours, yes, it's a bit of a flexy thing. So depending on the demand and supply, prices may go up. But it's not like there's like a certain level of promotion within e-hailing. So I think we've had conversations with like Syed Saddiq, the ex-youth minister, who said, you know, this is okay if it's temporary, but we have to be concerned if it's going to be a permanent long-term job. What do we do for people like this? How do we then move them up the value chain or improve their pay?
Yeah, so all of these questions were already being asked even before the movement control order and COVID-19 happened, so they're even more important now. But we don't have an answer for you just yet, unfortunately. Right now, we're heading into the 7:30 News Bulletin, and up next, we're speaking with Dr. Kosui King, Physician and Health Systems and Policies Specialist, on the feasibility of producing and distributing a vaccine. So that's happening after the news. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.